The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Trevor Hyde just told me that he wants a new computer for Christmas.
Well, I don't think works. I don't think I said that. That's not what I said.
Well, you said you love Sports Grid Radio. And Sports Grid TV, you did say that, and you said you wanted a new computer for Christmas.
I'm glad that I got a new computer. Really, I think I got this computer probably like 6 to 12 months before the pandemic hit, and we all started working at home from home all the time, and so it didn't have a lot of use on it. And it's a good thing because it's an excellent computer, and it's helped me out a lot. Right. Clearly, with us being home the last 9 months.
Do you think, because it's, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not. By the way, Kent State up 62-35 on Akron with 9 minutes left.
And we need the kid on Akron to throw for another 30 yards. Kid to throw for 30 more yards.
Well, there's just under 9 minutes to go, and he's got to get it on. So anyway, where was I? So anyway, I forget what we were talking about there for a second. I know the computers or whatever, but the fact of the matter is that my question is that we now they're saying that it's worse now. The pandemic is worse now. The numbers are worse now than they were when this started. So when we started doing shows, I think it's about March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, nine months. So we started in March. So 9 months, we're in 9 months-ville of doing this. And now the, like where we are, New York and New Jersey, as you know, is through the roof. The numbers are through the roof. The pandemic and the COVID numbers are through the roof. And so we may never be able to leave our homes again as long as we're alive.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
For all events. So what I'm saying is that it's bad now, as bad as it's ever been. Like, so the numbers in March and April were and May were at the highest peak of the COVID. And now New York and New Jersey, it's worse. It's worse. It's way worse than it was. So the numbers are over the top. They're through the roof. They're way worse than they've ever been. And the governor Murphy said yesterday, no more gatherings of more than 10 people. So, like, we would have never been able to go to Mafia's wedding. That would have been canceled this week. If the wedding was this week, there'd be no wedding. You're not even allowed to have 10 people at anything. So you can't have a wedding. You can't go, you know, if you go to dinner, you can go to dinner with, like, four people before 10. And at 10, they're all shut down. The funny thing is, when they shut down all those restaurants and bars, like, I get it. People go to bars at 10 o'clock on from 10 to 2 and 10 to 4, or whatever it is. In New York City, you can go to some places till 4 in the morning, but not anymore. Not anymore. Now they're all closed at 10. You just can't go anywhere. But I don't go out to dinner at 10 o'clock anywhere, ever. I will say, when I'm in the Caribbean or, in Europe or somewhere overseas, people, you know, in, like, over in across the pond, people go out to dinner late. And in France and stuff, and like in like Saint Martin, which is French, I go there a lot. They go out to dinner at 8:30 or 9:30 at night. You know what I mean? They eat late. They go out late because they take naps during the day, and they go out and eat dinner late and party late. But in America, they don't do that, right? In America, when do you go out to dinner? At the latest, when are the, you know, at the latest, somebody might have a reservation at what, 8:45? 9 o'clock? At the latest, who goes to dinner that you know, Carver High, at 9 o'clock to a restaurant? They go out at 7 and 7:30 and 8 and 8:30. The last seating is like 9, right? Is that not about accurate?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, for the most part, if you're making plans in advance, I don't think that the plans are going to be, hey, 9:30, you know, we're going to go out then. Like, now on the fly, you know, if somebody's just like, hey, you know, I just got home from work, you know, you want to go get something to eat? Yeah, I mean, then there could be an instance of a little 9:30 dinner. But in advance, making plans, no, usually 9:30, 10 o'clock right. Is not the time.
Like, you know. You're talking about, like, all right, I just got off work. It's late. I'm going to go out for bar food. Okay. I'll go to the bar to have a burger and a beer
right.
at 9:30 or 10 o'clock, like, but not at normal, like, Italian show, dinner.
Like, right. Like, when we would finish a show, like when we do the show out in Vegas, you know, and the show ends at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock Vegas time, it's like, you know, we would go over to one of those places and have something to eat after the show,
right.
You know?
But even then, believe it or not, like, do you remember, like, at the MGM, after we'd get off the air, there's no restaurants open? It's fast food only.
We used to make just that one place would be open for like another half hour. That tap room over there by the sports book would be open until like 11, and we'd just barely get in there before they shut
down. And they don't even want you there. They want to kill you.
No, they don't want you there at that point.
So anyway, I just think the whole thing is crazy. The pandemic is just absolute crazy what's happened and how it's, you know, affected everyone's lives and sports and everything. I mean, it has literally affected everything. And now they're saying it's worse than ever, but it won't stop the NBA draft from happening tomorrow night. The NBA also has announced their format for the season, which will begin on December 22nd and have 72 games for each team. They're going to announce the first half of the schedule for each team during training camp in December, while the second half won't be announced until later in the year. Another touchdown for Kent State. Oh, my God, they're just putting a beating on Akron. It was a 7-point game at halftime. It's 68-35. They have obliterated them.
Whatever gets the kid back on the field to throw over 30 yards. Let's go.
Let's go. The schedule features a play-in tournament between the number 7 through 10 seeds to determine the final two playoff spots for each conference. That's what they did with the, you know, Suns and all that, right? The play-in. There you go. There was a limited play-in during the bubble in Orlando. Although the teams had to be within 4 games to be eligible, the Blazers beat the Grizzlies in 1 play-in to clinch the number 9 seed in the West, and there was no series in the East. This season will feature a more expansive tournament from May 18th through the 21st, and even the number 10 seed having a chance to secure a spot with 2 consecutive wins. The number 7 and 8 seeds at the end of the regular season will play first with 1 win, clinching a postseason appearance, while the loser of the game, that game, will then face the winner of the matchup between the 9 and the 10. This would have given the Suns a shot at the playoffs. Yes, or were you cool with it, intrigued by it, anything else? And do you feel 72 games works for you?
Keep talking. I'm out. I'm frozen.
All right, so we've lost Carver High. He's fallen into the river. But that's all right. He'll swim his way out. Sometimes he does that. If he's run out of Bud Light and he's forced to drink other beers, he gets very upset. And, like, he's just not interested in Michelob at this point, and he'll just jump right in the river. And then that's that. He's just not having it. So, anyway, tomorrow is the NBA draft. So we're going to finally find out where all these players are going. And really, I don't know what people are more excited about, to be honest with you, is the crappy draft that's about to happen, because I think it's terrible. The players, the selections, like, it's beyond me how anyone's excited about this. But what I'm excited about is, actually, I want to see the deals that are made, right? There's got to be deals made tomorrow night, if you ask me. I think, you know, are we going to see Harden move? Are we going to see if the Nets are going to give, you know, are they going to give up the whole franchise to get Harden to play in Brooklyn? So, anyway, I want to see it. So, I want to be able to see if they pull it off. Who are they going to deal? Are they going to deal LeVert, Allen, Harris, Dinwiddie, draft picks? How are they going to get their hands on James Harden? So, Carver High, are you excited at all? I think he's just got out of the river. He's drying off. Are you excited at all about the schedule for next year, 72 games? And are you more excited to see the draft tomorrow night with all the crappy players that are in this draft? I mean, there's about 5 or 6 really good players, and that's it. Literally. And then the rest of it's going to be like, you've never heard of any of them. And then would you rather see the deals if, like, Harden comes to the Nets?
I think the 72 is good. Seems like the right way to go. I'm all in on Harden coming to the Nets. I think that it would be absolutely awesome. Got to have it. Excellent stuff if it goes on.
Who do you think they're willing to deal? All those names that I have mentioned. Do you think they're willing to deal LeVert, Dinwiddie, Allen, Harris? I mean, you cannot give up James Harden if you're the Rockets and not get back an absolute cachet and slew of players that are established. You can't just throw them a bag of peanuts and a couple of draft picks. It's not going to happen.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
I know what was happening there. Carver High had a lot going on. He's just like, whatever. Yes, I agree with you 100%. travesty of a double mockery of a sham. All the action we've got going on here. A lot of things happening. We're under a tremendous strain. Maybe double Xanny bars, Carver High. Xanny bars for everybody. If you can't figure out your problems, you need to go to bed. 34 Zeal Heaven, Advil PM, and call it a day. Shut her down. What a game. 69-35. The pasting they've put on the Zips. Kent State getting involved tonight on a bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the Chiefs and Raiders play again this week. I think in Vegas this time, right, Carver High? I think that's
they
the,
are in Vegas. Sunday night football.
Sunday night. So the number's at 6.5. Vegas getting 6.5. We talked about it today on Coast to Coast. And you know the deal that the Chiefs and Raiders apparently don't like each other again. This is a old, long-standing, bitter rivalry in the West. And now that the Chiefs are Super Bowl champs, everybody's out to get them. And certainly teams in their own division want a piece of them and find a way to beat them. And the Raiders have been the only one that's been able to crack the code. They beat them at Arrowhead. Then they allegedly drove around in donuts in the parking lot in the bus. And apparently Gruden said some bus driver gave him the business when they got on the bus. And then, so they forced him to drive around in circles just to get under his skin. So I don't know if any of that's true, but I don't care about all the driving around in the parking lot. What I care about is, do you think that the Raiders can beat the Chiefs again? I mean, they beat them in Kansas City. Why not in Vegas?
Yeah, and it's strange. You kind of talked about this, I believe it was today on Coast to Coast. Like, the line looks strange, right? Like Chiefs minus 6.5, like doesn't right. It feels like the Chiefs are better than that than the Raiders, but the Raiders have beaten them once. The Raiders are 6-3. They've been good this year. The game is in Vegas. I think there's got to be a little bit of revenge for the Chiefs this week. You think? And Andy Reid is insane off the bye. I mean, just he's ridiculous coming off a bye in Philly and in Kansas City. His whole entire coaching career. I think this is a tough spot for the Raiders coming up on Sunday night in primetime.
So you think they're going to get whacked?
I would not be surprised if the Chiefs whacked them.
That's not what I want to hear. I want to see a really good game for once. Aren't all these Sunday night games awful? I mean, I think they are.
I feel like the Sunday night games... It seemed like they had a really hot start. Like they had a bunch of really good games, I think, the first month. And they've hit a little bit of a lull because you had that Philly-Dallas game, which was awful. You had the Saints-Bucks, which was supposed to be a good game, but ended up being a blowout. And then you had the Monsoon game the other night, which really wasn't entertaining. I mean, it's fun to watch them in those elements and stuff, but the game itself, I mean, it sucked. So they could use another good game. They've had a couple this year. I mean, that Seattle-Arizona game was great. Seattle-New England game early in the year was good. They've had a few, but the last few weeks have been awful.
Do you think the Bears should be banned from primetime?
Yes, 1,000%. 1,000%.
God, they're so
and they, and
awful.
They're a week from Sunday, Thanksgiving Sunday night, they're on against the Packers.
Oh, God almighty. How do they keep getting all these primetime games?
I've been through this with you a billion times. Like, they love, you know, they love that Bear-Packer game. Let's get the Bears and the Packers in primetime. You know, they love throwing that out there. They love it. They love the black and blue.
The black and blue division? Yeah, that's not much of a division if you ask me. It's all about Aaron Rodgers, and nobody else matters. Do you think Matt Stafford will be able to be effective with his torn ligaments and his throwing thumb?
It doesn't seem like that's the best thing for, you know, being a quarterback. It just doesn't, you know, having torn ligaments in your thumb seems like that would be a hindrance to throwing the football. I'm not in on the Lions here. I'm really not. You look at their wins, not great. Aside from winning in Arizona, which was a pretty good win for them, but other than that, they haven't beaten anybody good. They get hammered by these other teams. I can't back the Lions, Scotty. I just can't do it.
So, and I, you know, my annual theory, and it's just going to keep coming out until Thursday night when I'm done doing shows for Thanksgiving week. I'll be off. But I just want to say it again. I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch the Lions on primetime or on Thanksgiving. I'm bored to death watching the Detroit Lions. Who else do you not want to watch on national television? I'll throw the Texans in there. Who do you not want to see play on your television? I don't want to watch the Jaguars. I don't want to, there's a lot of teams I just don't want to watch that suck. I don't want to watch the Panthers anymore either.
No, you know, the bad teams you never want to, you'd want to watch. I mean, a couple of them at least have some players that can be exciting. Like, nobody wants to watch the Texans. They do have Deshaun Watson, but overall the team stinks. You don't want to see, they've put the Jets on a couple times. You know who else they love putting on the Broncos. Enough with the Broncos too. The Broncos are impossible to watch. They're impossible to watch.
Do you think the Jets have figured out at any level that, because it's obvious to me now that Sam Darnold's finished. It's the craziest thing. That guy's fall from grace. He does not matter at all in New York anymore. They don't even like write about him. They don't even talk about him. They don't even care about him. They have to lose out. I think they actually have to throw games. They cannot win a football game. They need to lose out and draft Trevor Lawrence. That's all there is to it. And the kid needs to grow up and go wherever he's drafted. All this talk of going back to Clemson is nonsense.
That's not happening. Look, I think that Darnold hasn't helped himself in the one thing, which his fault or not. Last year, he missed a ton of games with, what was it, the mono at the beginning of the year?
Yes.
And he missed like four or five games with mono.
Yes.
You know, so that – and their season got off to an awful start. He didn't play at the beginning. Now this year again, like, he's missed what? Two, three, four games with his shoulder? Like,
yes.
This is another year in a row now where he's not helping his case because he's not on the field. And I know that they don't put a good team around him. That's the ultimate excuse that you have with him. But I don't know. You cannot pass this kid up. You just can't. It's just like Arizona a couple years ago. You know, they, even though they had only had 1 year of Rosen, fair or not, he never got a chance. But Kyler Murray was there. They had the first pick. And they went and did it. They said, we don't care if you know, this, it looks bad on the surface drafting a quarterback in the top 10 2 years in a row. But they did it, and it's paid off for them so far. You don't let a talent like Lawrence go away. And I got a feeling that the Darnold era is definitely coming to an end of the Jets. But I will say this, Scotty. We have said it a couple times, especially last week against New England. It seems like their offense is getting a little better with all the receivers back out there. And you know the Chargers. You never want to back them at home as a favorite. This could be a spot to take some points with the Jets on Sunday out in L.A.
Fair enough, but at the same time, they're so awful. And I actually think, believe it or not, that the Chargers are better than everybody thinks they are. I know everybody in San Diego loves watching the Chargers lose every week. I understand that and appreciate their hatred toward the Chargers leaving San Diego. But we've had many people tell us it's the city's fault, right? We've had everybody and their brother, Scott Kaplan, all of them told us the city, they screwed up and let the Chargers leave, right? So I understand why the fans hate them, and I understand why everybody hates them down there now. Fair enough. But putting that aside, which I know is very difficult for people, so spark up a fatty or something and get over it. All I know is that, I mean, for a team that loses every week, they're damn exciting. I don't think they're, you know what I mean? They're not bad to watch play. I don't think they're ugly at all. I think they're a tough team to deal with. And they've had such misfortune with their bad luck. I could actually, you know, see them putting a beating on the Jets.
I can get that, and we've said it. The Chargers are in every game, every week. Herbert is exciting. It's just whenever they're a home favorite, especially like this, they're so hard to trust. Really tough to trust, and they are better than their record indicates. I agree with that. But
so I don't know. I know I'm all over the place here tonight in the last few minutes of the show, but
all over the place.
That's fine. I'm watching this draft stuff, the draft order and the picks, everyone going through what's going to happen tomorrow night in the draft. And all I want to say is, without a doubt, I mean, it's not even close. If you ask me, the two best players in this draft are LaMelo Ball and Obi Toppin. That's it for me. I mean, I can't even fathom that people don't think Toppin is a good player. That's amazing to me. There was no player, in my opinion, besides Luka Garza, that dominated college basketball the way Obi Toppin did at Dayton. You can't even argue it, Carver High. The guy was absolutely a man against boys, and he dominated and did whatever he wanted. The guy was unstoppable. He was an NBA player playing in Dayton, Ohio, for a college team, and the only reason they were on the map was because of him. And then the highlights of LaMelo Ball, I mean, it's like watching White Chocolate Williams play in rec leagues, you know, after he stopped playing in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, Ball, I mean, the way he drives to the basket and dunks and reverse layups and kisses off the glass, finger rolls and tomahawks and no-look passes. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. And you never see any of this stuff from Wiseman or Edwards. You really don't. So Pharrell on the bench, you know, I've heard also these rumors of Russell Westbrook in a deal for John Wall, and nothing yet, but there's been talk. Sounds like straight up Russell Westbrook for John Wall. Well, we know John Wall's been sitting out forever, right? And had surgery and everything, and he's just been out and hasn't balled, but I know for a fact he's ready to go. I've seen him playing pick up and whatever. I saw him playing with a bunch of pros, right? Like in his spare time, he was playing with a bunch of brothers that he plays with in the league, and he was lighting people up. I mean, just absolutely looked fantastic. His game is, it's amazing how a guy can sit out that long with injury and surgery and whatever, and just never pick up a ball. And be out and just, you know, PT and rehabbing and whatever, and then come back and just have it all, like riding a bike, just have it all come back in just 2 seconds. Because I saw this guy one day playing in some pickup game with a bunch of pros. And I mean to tell you, he was dealing. I mean, just absolutely embarrassing and humiliating people with his inside outside game. He was getting to the 10, dunking, He was, you know, drop stepping like crazy. He was shooting three bombs from 25, 30 feet out. He was just sticking shots from everywhere. And his handle is so just ridiculous. It's not even funny. I mean, when he's healthy, if he's healthy, right? Like, so I think before this injury, I never really remembered him being a guy that was injured all the time. You know what I mean, Carver? I just thought John Wall played every night. And I, you know, from college to pros, I thought he was, you know, phenomenal in terms of his health and his ability to stay on the floor. And then he finally got tripped up and shut down. But I mean, if I had my druthers, like, he's a better player than Russell Westbrook, in my opinion. I think Westbrook's incredible. His triple double, two seasons of triple double average. Everything about Russell Westbrook, you know, I like his game. I think he's explosive. I think he's hot headed. I think he's nuts. I think he's, you know, you name it, he's a loose cannon for sure. You never know what he's gonna do next, if he's gonna snap or if he's gonna talk trash or if he's, you know, gonna freak out on refs or the coach or whatever. You have no idea what he's gonna do. But the reality is, a lot of people don't think he can shoot high percentage field goals, that he has no outside game. I don't agree with that. I think he can stick shots. I've seen him do it. You don't average a triple double for two seasons and not have scoring ability. But my point is that when, you know, Wall plays, there's no getting around his outside touch, right? Like, the guy can, he's as fast as Westbrook. Okay. And as explosive as Westbrook, without a doubt. John Wall, when he gets a full head of steam going, no one can stop him. No one can guard him. No one. And the difference in their game to me is really, I believe he's got a better handle, and I think he's definitely got a better, without a doubt, a better outside game. John Wall can stroke it from anywhere, consistently burying shots. And I mean, on the move, even high speed pull up from three, he's lethal. And then drop step or a drag and go move to the 10. He's explosive off the floor and he'll dunk in your face. Tomahawk you, do whatever. Whose game do you like better? Let's say both healthy, both in great shape and healthy, Carver High. Whose game do you like better? Do you like Westbrook's game better or John Wall's?
I probably lean Westbrook. That's just me. I like Russ. Now, I know that a lot of people don't. You got to understand he's a one-man show. You know, you got to take that as it comes. Like, if he comes to the Knicks, you got to understand, you know, he's, you know, a one-man band. But I think that Russ is tough. I do. I think he's stubborn sometimes, and that one-man band stuff can kind of be the, you know, the thing that does him in. But I think he's a tough player. And I think he would change a team like the Wizards or change a team like the Knicks. So I'd want Westbrook, I would have to say.
Do you think that there's truth to Wall for Westbrook straight up?
I just don't know why you would want anything to do with Wall when he hasn't played in like 2 years. I just don't know why you'd want. I just don't know why you'd want to get involved with him.
I think he's healthy now, and going into this season, he's going to be good to go. I know, without a doubt, I don't even hesitate that he can shoot better than Westbrook. John Wall can stroke it. So, but I won't disagree with you about Westbrook's game. I love his game. I think he's a bad mother, but I don't know. I think that, you know, I think that's why, that if that rumor's even remotely consistent or true, it's because they're both so good. They're both so almost identical, their game, that it's just a straight flip, that they both can do the same things. And a lot of people like them. Anyway, now I don't know. I'm seeing this late story blooming here. Dana White goes off on Bob Arum for comments he made about paying Terrence Crawford. He just cusses him out and calls him every name in the book, calls him a Pharrelling piece of hink. And no respect for the elders there, Carver High. Getting no respect for the legendary Bob Arum. So what was the final tally on the Buffalo game? I just wanted to see that because I know they won that game. 42-17 was the final. So they did not cover the 30-31. And then no. Kent State did cover the 26. So
they sure
I'll
did.
Say this much. Buffalo's unbeaten. They're 3-0. But so is Kent State. They're both 3-0. The Ohio and Miami of Ohio game was canceled. And Buffalo was laying 31, whatever, 30 and a hook, whatever it was. A lot of people had different lines on it. But Kent State did cover.
Since you're bringing up canceled games, I got another one for you for Saturday. So the list just grows by the, you know, by the hour. Wake Forest Duke. You can slash that one off the list, Scotty, for the ACC on Saturday.
Well, I actually thought that was going to be a good game. I think the number was 5, and I think that Wake Forest is better than Duke, but they're playing in Durham, and the number's 5 for a reason. This is another, frankly, rivalry game like North Carolina was. That was a wild game, and North Carolina won, and Wake covered. And now you got Wake going to Duke. I think Wake's better than Duke this year, but anything could happen. I wouldn't have been surprised at all if that was a 1 or 2 point game and a field goal at most. And so I thought that it was safe to go Wake and middle it with Duke getting the 5. How did you feel about that game in Durham?
I liked Wake in the game. I've liked what I've seen from Wake. When they've actually been on the field, I've liked what they've done. I feel like they could score. Defense isn't great, but that's kind of everybody right now. I think that Wake's a fun team to watch. I'm worried about if Notre Dame's got to go to Winston-Salem in a couple of weeks, which is their last game they're supposed to play.
Are you worried about those two games in Chapel Hill and in Winston-Salem, that one of them's going to trip them up?
Yeah, definitely. Two road spots for the Irish. And I always think back to a game that was probably – I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even 5, where Notre Dame was rolling along in November and had to play a road game at NC State. And it was like a monsoon out that day. They lost the game like, 7-3. Like nobody could.
I remember that.
Remember that? It was a legit monsoon. They lost the game to NC State. And, it's always tricky when you go to these places. But in the Carolinas, they play all these teams in the ACC now. So I think that definitely they're going to get, if not both, at least one of them is going to be a challenge for them. They're going to have a game late in the fourth quarter.
So how do you feel about Indiana's chances in Columbus on Saturday?
You're selling me more and more that they're going to cover. I want this for you too. Like, we've been pumped up here with Indiana. We've gotten the coach involved yesterday. Penix Sound today on Coast to Coast. I really want to see Indiana show up at the Horseshoe on Saturday. And even Scotty, and I think that obviously you want them to win, but that's not a possibility. I think that you're hoping that you see them compete and that they're in the game into the fourth quarter so that you could say maybe this 4-0 start isn't a fluke because of who they've played. Maybe the coach is building something at Indiana and you could sit there and go, maybe we are in a game with Ohio State into the second half.
So I got my crimson hoodie on right now. I'm rocking the cream and crimson.
I saw you do.
All I know is that I'll be honest with you. I already think he is building something in Bloomington. I think that started a couple of years ago, and I thought last year they had a really good season. I know they lost to Tennessee by 1 in the bowl game, but I thought Indiana played better than Miami did against Louisiana Tech in a bowl game. I thought Indiana had a way better season than anybody ever dreamt they would have. And the fact that they're 4-0 now and ranked number 9 in the country is higher than anyone's expectations could have ever been placed or met. But I will say this, that I actually have had a moment this week where when I did the pick, I actually thought that Indiana could beat Ohio State and that they could actually go in there and stun the world and beat them. Because Ohio State, in my opinion, hasn't played anybody. And I think that, you know, them beating Penn State is like Indiana beating Penn State. I mean, everybody's beating Penn State. So that Ohio State had no game last week. And now they're, you know, picking it up and getting ready for this game with Indiana. And I'm sure that they know that they're heavy favorites. So I think that there's some semblance of they think this is going to be just another walk in the park for them against Indiana, which they've had their entire existence. The only time Indiana ever beat them was in 87 when they went to Columbus with Bill Mallory and beat them. And then that same year they beat Michigan for the first time. And this year they beat him for the first time since then. So if you did it then and you did it this year against Michigan and Penn State, why can't you do it against Ohio State again? If you've done everything else you haven't done since 1987, why not do it again in 2020? This has been the craziest year ever with the pandemic and everything else and sports. It's been so bizarre. I thought to myself, why not Indiana? Why not Indiana going to Columbus and beating the Buckeyes? And I think everyone thinks it's so automatic that Ohio State's going to win the game. And it's just such a done deal. And it's that they have no chance whatsoever to win. And I got to tell you, the more that I think along those lines that everybody thinks this is going to be a joke for Ohio State, the more angry it makes me, and the more I believe that Indiana has a shot to knock them off. I would love, you know, for them to cover, it'd be great. But to actually go in there and punch them in the mouth and beat them would be even better. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So, anyway, so John Wall, he's talking about how the GM of the Wizards has talked about we're building around Bradley Beal, and so John Wall doesn't want to hear that. So what the bottom line is underneath all of that, the undercurrent is that they're sounds like they're ready to move on from Wall altogether. You know what I mean? That they're just not interested in. Anything Wall has to say. We have had, tomorrow we're going to find out. We're going to see the draft. We're going to see if any of these trades happen. We're going to see in free agency on the 20th if everyone's going to move, where they're all going to go. You can trade now, but free agency starts in Friday or whatever it is. And so we're going to find out where all these guys go, but it sounds like Wall doesn't want to be second fiddle to anybody, including his pal Beal. I think Beal's a great player. I think Wall's a great player. I think Westbrook's a great player. I think Harden's a great player. We've heard the, Rockets say they don't care, allegedly, what the Nets want in this. We all know what the Nets want. The Nets want Harden, but they're not catering to the Nets' needs and the Nets' wants and wishes and desires. The Rockets, let's face facts, folks. They have to deal with Harden. Losing Harden and trading Harden is stupid unless you get a massive haul for Harden. I don't think the Nets can really do it unless they give them the whole team besides Durant and Kyrie Irving. I mean, I would literally ask for every other player for Harden. So that's stupid for the Nets to do that. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. East. Good night, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big.